So today we are going to discuss Sugyos 12, 13, and 14. This is the first of the Chazar Shirim for the time. So, okay. The first Sugya is Misa V'Tashlumim Menenas Ba'Achilas Truma. So again, what we always have to do when we go through these Sugyas, we have to remember the context of it. We have to go back to the Gemara. The Gemara was talking about Reb Nechunya ben Akane, who said that Kimle applies to other things other than just Misa's basin. Generally, Kimle is Beramine. Again, just the Chazar all the way back to the beginning. We have Misa and Mamon, so we say, you just get Mamon. Sorry, just get Misa and not the Mamon. So that generally applies by Misa's basin. So comes Rabbi Nechunya ben Akane and says it doesn't just apply by Misa's basin. And then there's a machlokes in the Gemara between Abai and Rava, whether it applies to Kares, meaning he's just extending it to Kares, or is he extending it to all Misa bidei Shemayim. So we're trying to figure that out. So now within that sugya, we try to find a nafkamina. What's the nafkamina case? The case is Zar Shachal Satruma. Spent a lot of time trying to figure out this Kohen, the Truma, what's the deal? So Zar Shachal Satruma is the nafkamina. Why? Because that's the case of Misa bidei Shemayim and Mamun. So we have to see if Kimle will apply there, and then we'll be able to figure out what the real sheet of Reb Nechunya ben Akane is. Good, everyone's got the background. So the Gemara in that whole discussion goes through what the exact case of Zar Shachal Satruma is, and it suggests the case where someone shoved the Truma was shoved down someone's throat. So that way, you have a Misa and a Mamon all coming at once. The Gemara said, I don't understand. Mimonavshach. If it was forced down, Amai Chayev. And if he could have put it back, then of course he's going to be Chayev. Right? If he could have spit it out, then of course he's going to be Chayev because he chose not to spit it out. But if it couldn't have been spit out, then it's an Ones case. Amai Chayev. Or we'll talk about that in a second. But Amai Chayev, says the Gemara. The Gemara then ends up saying, no, it's Nechal Ayideat Chak. Rather, it was far enough that he couldn't have got it down, or whatever it is. The Gemara gives some technical answer. But we're going to focus on that part of the Gemara, the Mimonavshach. So again, one more time. The Mimonavshach was, the Gemara says, if it's not far enough down, meaning he could have spit it back up, then of course he's going to be Chayev, because he could have done something about it, and he didn't. But if it was too far down that he could not have done anything about it, Amai Chayev. So we need to figure out, what's this Amai Chayev going on? What does that really mean? So comes Rashi, and Rashi says, Amai Chayev, he says, Misa Anusu. Why would you be Chayev Misa? Because you are an Anus. You were an Anus. It was forced down your throat. There was nothing you could have done about it. You should not be Chayev Misa because it's an Ones case. That sheet is Rashi. All of the Rishonim jump on Rashi, and they say, what do you mean, Rashi? How could you possibly say that? We know we have a klal of Tana d'Bechizkiya, and Tana d'Bechizkiya tells us that Shogeg Kemezin, even when there's no real Chiyuv Misa, like in this situation where there would be no real Chiyuv Misa, still there should be Kimle, and we should say that there's no Chiyuv Mamon, and there would only be this Chiyuv Misa, which even though it doesn't really exist, Tana d'Bechizkiya tells us there doesn't need to be a real Chiyuv Misa for it to exist. So that should tell us that Kimle should still apply. So how could Rashi say, Amai Chayev? What does that mean, Amai Chayev? Who cares if you're going to be Chayev? Tana de Bechizkiya. Good? So that's the basic question of the entire sugya. Yeah.
The question is, why could it still get commedia and therefore it doesn't matter?
Right, meaning, the reason we want to say Onus, right? Amai Chayev. Why would you be Chayev Misa? You're an Onus. So what he's trying to say there is, Kimle can't apply over there because Kimle only applies when there's a Chayev Misa and a Chayev Mamon, and there's no Chayev Misa here. But Tana Debechitzkiya tells us, even when there's no actual Chiyuv Misa here, like by a Shogeg case, so we still apply Kimle, so why should this be any different? Yeah? So that's the background question to the entire. So again, we're going to try to spend some time to answer this question for Rashi. So we have a few answers for Rashi. Comes with Shita Mukubetzes and gives his first answer. Shita Mukubetzes' first answer is that, really, this is not a problem for Rashi at all, because as we saw in the previous Sigyas, I know it was on the old Bechina, so we don't have to know it anymore, but as we know from the previous Sigyas, that Rashi doesn't think Tana Dechitzki applies outside of Misa's Basin. So since he doesn't think that it applies outside of Misa's Basin, none of this is even a problem for him. So I guess we could say that even though it's not so pushed over there, what exactly Shitas Rashi is and whatever, let's assume that that's one answer. I guess it's not the best answer, but it's an answer. Yes, we did. I think it's Chavtes, but that might just be a guess. So I'll let you know afterwards. I'll look it up. I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. All right, whatever. So, okay, so that's the first answer. Comes the second answer in the Shita Mukubetzes. Second answer in the Shita Mukubetzes, and he says, no, exactly what Arel was trying to say. What you were really asking, you said, I understand, the Ones Shogeg, there's a difference between Ones and Shogeg. Tana Bechitzki is really only talking about Shogeg Kemezid. But Onez is a totally different case in there. What's the proof for this? So if we just look at what Tanav Bechizkiah is really saying, we'll be able to see a clear proof for this. So what is Tanav Bechizkiah really saying? Tanav Bechizkiah says, the Pasuk says, what does the Pasuk say? Makeh nefesh behema yishal menu makeh adam yumas. So if you're mazik someone, you're going to pay. And if you kill someone, you are going to die. So the Gemara makes a drasha. Just as makeh behema, which is mazik, you are going to be chayev whether it's shogeg or mazid. So too, if you kill someone, you are going to be putter whether it's shogeg or mazid. Right? So the whole drasha only applies by shogeg or mazid. So why would we think to extend it farther than that? So that's why we would think that onus wouldn't apply. So that would make sense. The only thing is that this whole pshat in the chiluk, this is all assuming that everything's based on whenever there's a chiyuv for mazik, there's going to be a ptur for misa, right? So we just have to figure out, I mean, to say that it doesn't apply by onus means that we're saying by mazik, if there's an onus, that you're going to be pater. So we have to prove that. We have to see if that's true, right? Because again, what we're saying is that shogeg and mazid, by Tanav Bechizkiah, we're saying whenever you're going to be chayiv by mazik, meaning by shogeg and mazid, you're going to be chayiv and mazik. So too, by misa, you're going to be pater because of kimlay. So to say that ones doesn't fit into that means that you have to be saying that ones is something which is pater mi mazik. Right? And that's why it wouldn't fit into the drasha of Tanav Bechizkiah. So we have to see if that's true. Is it true that if I damage someone to ones, that I am not chayev? So for that we have to look to another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Bava Kama on Daf Chav Ches, which quotes machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in some strange situations, and it comes out in these situations that Rabbi Meir says you're going to be chayev no matter what, and Rabbi Yehuda says we're miskavim chayev, but if not, then you're going to be pater. The Gemara in Bava Kama Chav Ches. Okay, so one of these cases that it talks about is, let's say I'm holding a handle, and something behind me totally breaks on its own, and I do nothing to cause this to break, and it totally breaks on its own. So it would come out, according to Rebbe Meir, that I would be chayiv in such a case. Comes the Gemara and asks, ones rachmana patre. Ones, it's an ones case, so what's going on, right? So the Gemara answers, no. The Gemara says, unclear what the Gemara says. The Gemara tries to somehow answer, but it seems to come out, according to Rebbe Meir, that it would be ones rachmana patre, and the Gemara was clearly bothered by this. Comes the Shitin and Gubetes, and Tosas on the spot over there also points this out, and he says, I don't understand, we have a din in Bava Kama called Adam Mu'ad Liolam, that no matter what a person does to damage, a person is always considered a Mu'ad, and he's always going to be chayav for damaging, no matter what. So what kind of question is that? Ones rachmana patre. Who cares if it's ones rachmana patre? Adam Mu'ad Liolam. So what do we see from here? That ones is not considered shogeg or mazik. It's its own entity, and you're always going to be taught this. So that's why the Gemara even asked the question of ones rachmana patre. Good. He says that that's not even a case of adam u'ad li'olam. Adam u'ad li'olam would only apply but when shogeg or mazid. Ones is not even in the ballpark of those things. Li'olam means shogeg and mazid. Right, ones is a totally different entity. That's what we would have to say. Yeah? Right, exactly. And then we'll talk the Rashba over there. We'll see in a second. So then comes the Ramban and says, no, that's not a proof that onus is always going to be pater. Rather, here, in this case, onus is going to be pater, but generally it's not. Really, the Mishnah said Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, and that's what it means, just like what Sober was just saying. It means Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, and onus Rachman Abadze, the Gemara was talking about something else. So, two things we have to figure out. What was that? So how does he explain the Gemara? And what is Onos Rachmana Patre saying? So meaning, really the same thing. We just need to figure out what his shot is. So comes the Rashba, and the Rashba explains that when the Gemara said Onos Rachmana Patre, why would you be chayev according to Rebbe Meir? What's really the question? The question is, there's no maisa being done. Onos Rachmana Patre, the question is really saying, you're not doing any maisa, how can we possibly make you chayev? That's really what the Gemara is asking. But why would you be chayev in general in such a case? I mean, he doesn't hold that Onos Rachmana Patre. So why would you be chayev in such a case? So he explains that this is a strange, meaning there are cases where the mazik is being negligent. And so if I damage because you're being negligent, that's where you're going to be chayev. Right? Meaning I'm going to be patre. That's what Onos Rachmana Patre. Onos Rachmana Patre means that there's no maisa being done. Now, what about the cases which seem to be onus and make me patre? No, those cases are different. Because those are cases where the mazik was being negligent. What's an example? So there's a Gemara in Daf Chaf Zayin, which talks about someone leaves their pitcher in Rishat HaRabim, and then someone else walks by and breaks it as they trip over it. So that guy's going to be pater, not because of Onos Rachmana Patre, as some the other Rishonim explained. Comes the Rashba and the Ramban, and they say, no, the reason why he's going to be pater is because this guy was negligent. I was not Mazik, this guy was Poshea. And they bring another proof from that Gemara in the Yerushalmi, which talks about like sleeping situations. If I'm sleeping if I'm sleeping over here and someone comes and sleeps next to me and I punch them in the face in their sleep, that's their own fault because they were negligent by sleeping next to me. But if I went and slept next to them, then in a Farami, I'd be chayav, it wouldn't be considered an onus. It comes out a big machlok between Tosos and the Shitimufu Betzes versus the Ramban and the Rashba about Onos Rachmana Patre and what it means and how far it extends. That's probably what he would say by Amai Chayev. What if he explained the pshat and Amai Chayev is talking about Misa? That's probably what he would say. I mean, that's why it would be Pater. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're just saying within this pshat and the Shittu Mekubetzes, he disagrees with the cloud of the Shittu Mekubetzes. Good. So, right, so let's just chazer what we had. We had a question on Rashi, we had our Gemara, and we had a question on Rashi. What was Rashi? Because the Gemara said, Amai Chayev. Comes Rashi, and Rashi explained, Amai Chayev, why would you be Chayev Misa? He's shoving it down your throat, you didn't do anything. Amai, you're an Anus, why would you be Chayev Misa? So comes Rashi, sorry, so come all the Rishonim and say, oh, Tana Dvechizki, what kind of pshat is that? We have Tana Dvechizki, which tells me that yours is going to be a Chayev. So what are you talking about? So we had two answers so far. One was from the Shittim Mekubetzes, both from the Shittim Mekubetzes so far. The first one was that Rashi's not going to be bothered by this because he has a different understanding of Tana Dvechizkiah. The second one was this whole thing about Onus being different than Shogeg, and we went on to explain that the Shittim Mekubetzes has a Shita which is like Tosos, that Onus is, you know, pun intended over there, that Tosos, like Tosos, that Onus is something which is a Patur, as opposed to the Ramban and the Rashba, which differ. I know, I should try to make as many puns as I could. Try to get back at a show that I'm actually having good hashpah over here. Okay. So, those were the two answers we had. Now there's a third potential answer. The third answer comes from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Akiva Eiger's bothered by the fact that the Shittim Mekubetzes is clearly assuming that Kimle is depending on the Onshin. That's what the Shittim Mekubetzes is clearly assuming. By saying that Onus is going to be different than Shogeg, he's saying that it's clearly all totally on the Onshin, because by Onus there's not going to be a punishment, but by Shogeg there still is going to be a punishment. So he explains differently. He says it's similar to Nekuda, but different. He says Onus is different. Why would Onus be Pater? Meaning, what kind of the Chizki, Onus is Pater, what's going on? So he says, no, because Onus is different because it says if there was no Maisa done at all. When I do an action by Onus, for Onus, it's as if there was no action done at all. So that's why it's going to be different. So, yeah, I get Enoch Anami. Right. But I don't think the Ramban would agree to that. I mean, if you're going to assume that that's correct, then that would be a way to answer the Ramban. Doesn't mean the Ramban would agree to it. Exactly. Right. That would be another way to answer it. Okay. Good, so we had a question on Rashi and three answers. Two sheep from Kubetzes and one from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Yeah, we're good? Fantastic. Now there was another point which the Rishonim were very bothered with when it comes to Shitas Rashi. So if the real question is that, Amai Chayev Misa, why would you be Chayev Misa? So we're trying to find a case where you're Chayev Misa and Chayev Mamon, right? And they're struggling through this whole thing of Zara, that Zara Shachal, the Truman, the guy shoves it down his throat and blah, blah, blah. Why not just give a much simpler case where the guy, Reuven, asked Shimon to shove it down his throat? He asked him. Now that he asked him to shove it down his throat, of course there's going to be a Chayev Misa. There's not even going to be a question. So why didn't we just give that case? So some Rishonim were not bothered by this question for technical reasons, either because if you asked him, you didn't think he'd actually do it, or even once he did it, it's not a real Hana, whatever it is. So some Rishonim weren't bothered by this. But Tosfos brings this up, and it becomes a big machlokes between the Ritzpa and the Ri, which becomes very fundamental, and it's fascinating how, again, all these things that we see in Shira are interesting because we see how like the most like detailed, crazy questions and sugyas like somehow end up being very relevant, Lamaisa. And we saw this with like the IVF stuff in the beginning of the year. Like, who would have thought that this is the sugya that comes back to? So this is like another one of those examples. So we see question is, why did the Gemara not just give a case where he asked him to shove it down his throat? Because if he asked him, then of course there would be a chayiv misa. Some Rishonim weren't bothered by this, but the Ri and the Ritzva were. Comes the Ritzva and says, the reason why we couldn't have given such a case, is because if I asked you to put it down my throat, then the second it goes into my mouth, I'm going to be kone. And since I'm going to be kone right there, that would mess up the kimwe timing, because I'd have a chi of mamon before I had a chi of misa, and that would be no good. The Ri clearly disagrees with that answer. The Ri cannot accept that answer, and because of this question of why did the Gemara not just give a simpler case of chi of misa, he says the amai chayev is really talking about amai chayev mamon. It can't be talking about amai chayev misa. Because of this problem, the Ri had to change his shot. So it comes out there's a big machlokes between the Ri and the Ritzva as to whether this would be considered a kinyan. It seems like the Ri disagreed because he didn't feel like this would be a kinyan. So again, if I ask someone to put something in my mouth, so the second it goes into my mouth, says the Ritzva, you're going to be kone. Says the Ri, you're not going to be kone. So we want to figure out what this machlokes about. So we brought up a big machlokes between the Ktois and the Imre Moshe. Imre Moshe is Rav Shavka Lofsky. I really like that one. So the Imre Moshe versus the Ktos. And they talk about the following case. Let's say we have Kinyani Gzela without a Maisa Gzela. So we know that there needs to be Kinyani Gzela in order for one to be Chayev in Gezel. There's a Mishnah Baba Kama, Davayin Zayin, which talks about this and says it explicitly, that there needs to be Kinyani Gzela in order to be Chayev. Now let's say I have Kinyani Gzela, but there's no Maisa Gzela. I didn't do anything explicitly that makes this my active stealing. That seems to be what this Machlokes is about. And the Ktos says, he brings a few proofs. One is from a Rashi. Rashi talking about Kinyan Chatzer, and how an animal goes into my Chatzer, whether I'm actually going to be Chayev for Gezel. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, now it's in my property. It wasn't your property, now it's in my property. So Rashi gives the case, and he says that you lock the door. Why do you have to give that case? Comes the Ktos and says, he gave that because you need a Maisa Gzela in addition to Kinyani Gzela. And this seems to be how the Ri is holding. The Ri seems to be holding like this. So that Kinyani Gzela by itself are not enough. There needs to be a Maisa Gzela as well. The Imre Moshe disagreed and said, no, that's only true by Kefel, but by actual Gezel, you don't need that, and that would seem to be the Shita of the Ritzva. So again, let's just chazer this entire Sugya. When we say a lot in Shir, we say a tremendous amount, but when you break it down in like just different sections, you can organize it in your mind, you can really get the entire thing. And while we might not say out every single detail, when you look at this detail, you're like, oh, right, that makes sense. And then in your mind, it will expand into all the other details. So let's just chazer this sugis. We had the Gemara Amai Chayev. Shita's Rashi. Question of Tana Nebechizkia, what's Rashi doing? So we had three answers. Two from the Shita of Betzes and one from Rabbi Kideger. We then asked another question on Rashi. Some Rishonim weren't bothered by it. We had the Ri and the Ritzva, which we said is really Machokas Sos Imre Moshe. Zehu, that's the end of the sugis. Good? Yeah? Yeah, so they were talking about, they each quoted a bunch of different cases, but the one case that I mentioned before was the Gemara in Bava Kama talking about, let's say you have an animal and it goes into my chatzer. So we know there's such thing as a kinyan chatzer. So I considered a ganav if your animal goes onto my chatzer. Now I've done a kinyan on your animal, so am I considered a ganav? So the Ktos quotes Rashi. When Rashi gives that case, he says, Vinal Bifaneha, where you lock the door. Then you'd only be chayev once you lock the door. So Ktos proves from there that Kinyani Gzela aren't enough by itself. There needs to be a Maisa Gzela as well. Good? What's that? The Imre Moshe says that's an exception case. So he gives a few reasons why that case is totally different. There's another case by Shvuah Shomrim, where like it says you have to do this, and he says you brought the two exceptions to the rule. That rule is by Kefel. And these are the two exceptions for, he gives a bunch of other reasons, but in Ahami they seem like good proofs. But the Imre Moshe, we pointed this out above the sea a few years ago, the Imre Moshe has a pretty solid proof himself. I think I wrote it down at the end over here. He said, Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, HaKofer B'Bikadon Nase Alav Gazlan V'Chayev Ba'unzen. HaKofer B'Bikadon, all you did was deny something and you're going to be considered a ganav. So you didn't really, there's no Maisa there. So the Imre Moshe is like, of course, that's not a real rule. But they go back and forth and they say they're talking about different things. But again, that seems to me, that's pretty important machlokes as to how we consider Kinyani Gzela. Those things come up. I mean, I don't know how often they come up, but it's been a lot of mesechta. Okay, let's go to the next sugya. The next sugya was Chilul Truma Al Yidei Achila V'Sicha. So this is more of a side point within the sugyas that we were doing. not like a we didn't go further in the Gemara. This is just based on a question that some of the Rishonim were bothered with. So again, we mentioned before, we were trying to figure out the sheet of Rav Nechunya ben Hakoneh. He expanded Kimwe to apply to more things than just Mises Beis Din, and there was Machlokes whether it's talking about Kares or any Misa Bidei Shemayim. So we brought the case of Zar Shachat HaTruma, which we just discussed for a little bit. And the Gemara found this case where the Gemara is trying to figure out where the Chiyuvim apply at the same time. Again, we're trying to find a Chiyuv Misa and a Chiyuv Mamon to occur at the same time. But it seems clear from everyone in the Rishonim and in the Gemara that there's a Chiyuv Misa happening over here. There is a Chiyuv Misa. At some point when I chew this Truma, there's going to be a Chiyuv Misa. Comes Tosfos HaRosh and the Tosfos Yeshanim, and they ask, there should not be any Chiyuv Misa at all. Once the Truma has been chewed up and is disgusting, at that point it should be Nisbatel. There should be no more Truma, and you shouldn't be Chayav for eating the Truma. It should be the end of the discussion. There should be no problem of eating this Truma, because by the time that it gets into my mouth, by the time I'm swallowing it, it's already gross and it's already Mischalel. So it shouldn't even be a situation, it shouldn't even be a case. It shouldn't even be a Chiyuv Misa. And he brings a proof from the Gemara in Krisus Daf Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara has a case where the grandfather is a Kohen and the grandson is a Yisrael. Right, that makes sense. The grandfather Kohen has a Truma and he's anointing himself. He's rubbing it on his body. And grandson Yisrael comes and gives a hug and gets some of this Truma. So the Gemara says that you're not going to be chayav for this, or that's not a problem of Zar Shashimei Shesa Truma, because it was already misbatel, it was already used, it was already gross. So the same thing should apply here. Once the truma was already chewed, there should be no chiyuv misa for actually swallowing it. Good? That's the basic question of the entire sugya. So we have to, again, whenever we do these sugyas, we have to remember what the key points are to remember. So in the first sugya, we have to understand the question on Rashi. Now this is the question we have to understand. So one more time, Tosfos Yeshanim, Tosfos HaRosh, and Tosfos Yeshanim ask, I don't understand. There shouldn't be any chiyuv misa here at all by Achilas HaTruma, because by the time that I'm going to be swallowing it, it should be gross and it should be misbatel. Good. So the next thing we said, we wanted to try to figure out, yeah. Well, I guess you have to look at it objectively. Like now, let's say you were like all chewed up and you put it there, and then you put it in front of you for a meal. Would you eat it? Right. I think. No, but I think we look at the status of the food. You're looking at it, the food in its situation that it's in. I don't think we view it like that. We have to like take the food at this second. So now you put it on a plate in front of you. Is that something you would choose to eat at a buffet? Could be. Whatever. I hear what you're saying. I think it's we look at the food objectively, we don't look at it in the situation that it's in. That's the way I understood. Otherwise, it's a good path. Okay, so we wanted to figure out whether this is a good shaila, right? So the Tosfos HaRosh is clearly assuming that our case of achila, because we're talking about a zarsha achalas atruma, and that case over there in Krisus, where it's talking about sicha, are the same thing. But they have the same dinim. So he's clearly comparing sicha and achila, which is a big problem. So Rabbi proved from Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is a shita throughout Shas in a bunch of different situations. That Sicha Kishtia, there's a din of Sicha Kishtia. The Gemara learns out from the Psukim that Sicha and Shtia are comparable, and ends up saying that maybe Sicha is Kishtia for dinim, which would impact us, like Yom Kippur, for example. Your Sach, maybe it's as if you were drinking, and that would be a more Chamar Isser, fine, whatever it is. So Shitas Rabbeinu Tam throughout Shas is that Sicha Kishtia is only a din derabanan. So we proved from the fact that he holds that Sicha Kishtia is only a din derabanan, there's no way that Rabbeinu Tam would think that we can compare a case of Sicha to a case of Achilas Truma. Because one's on a Deoraisa level, one's only on a derabanan level. Of course, there's no way we can compare the two cases. It would be ridiculous to compare them. So we said Rabbeinu Tam is clearly someone who would argue on this. Okay, so now what do we have so far? We have Tosfos HaRosh, who seems to say Sicha Kishtia is going to be a din deoraisa from the fact that he's comparing it to Achila. And we have Rabbeinu Tam, who seems to assume that it would be a din derabanan, as we know from his shita throughout Shas. So are there any rayas? And we need to figure out a little more about this machloket. So there's Gemara Nida on Daf Lamed Beis and Beis. The Gemara quotes two possible makoros for Sicha Kishtia. One is a pasuk from the Parshas Emor, and the other is a pasuk in Tehillim. So why did it need two, right? Whenever it brings two of something, clearly there might have seems like there was something wrong with the first one. What was the problem? So comes some Rishonim and say, nah, it wasn't such a problem. The first Gezeiras HaKasuv was fine. Really, we learned it out from the Torah of in Parshas Emor, and that was fine, but just in case someone would come and make some sort of pircha, we know for sure it's at least a Din Derabanan. But it's really a Din Deraisa, but if anyone, you know, what does that mean? They're just trying to figure out a way to say that it's still a Din Deraisa, even though there's a Pasuk from Tehillim there. Comes Rabbeinu Tam, this is the proof for me, very clearly. They need the Pasuk in Tehillim because it's not a real Din Deraisa, of course. It's very simple. So that was one way we tried to figure out whether this is really a Din D'Oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan. There was another Gemara we saw by Yom Kippur. Yeah. The Gemara in Nida quotes two possible makoros for Sicha Kishtia. The first is a pasuk in Emor, and the second is a pasuk in Tehillim. Comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, oh, this is a proof for me, because they what was wrong with the first pasuk? The fact that they needed a second pasuk, and they brought it from Tehillim, shows that it's clearly only a Din D'Rabbanan. Yeah. We brought another Gemara that spoke about Yom Kippur, and spoke about the way that Sicha Kishtia would apply, whether it's a Din D'Oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan, and how that relates to the Shari Nuyim. And we brought a possible Chakira. We wanted to say, it's possible that we can even say that Sicha Kishtia would be a Din D'Rabbanan by Yom Kippur, but it would be a Din D'Oraisa by Truma. And we said, Yesh Lachar, as to how we understand Sicha Kishtia. It could be that it's a Din Prati in Hilchos Truma, or it could be that it's a Din Kali that would really apply everywhere. So we seem to say that it's possible that according to the Tosfos Rosh, it could be that Sicha Kishtia could apply on a D'Oraisa level by Truma, even though it would only be on a D'Rabbanan level by Yom Kippur. Find that that wasn't the key. Okay? So that was just more of a side point. So what we want to say now, let's just think about how to phrase this. Okay, so we have three possibilities right now as to how to understand things. Really two. Two with a potential third. One, it's Tosfos Rosh that Sicha Kishtia is a Din D'Oraisa. Okay? Then we have Rabbeinu Tam, who says Sicha Kishtia is really a Din D'Rabbanan. And then we have this third pshat, which we didn't really say out so well yet, which we're going to see more in the Griz in a minute. But it's that it's possible that it's really more of a Din Prati in Truma, so outside of Hilchos Truma, it may not apply. So it was kind of how we were just darshaning a little bit. And we'll get there, we'll see that there's another way to explain that it seems like it might be the Griz. We'll figure that out in a minute. So where does this come into play? Where does this become important? By dealing with Sicha by things. Right? Let's say where this came up by us. Let's say you have, you need a hefter for body wash. You need a hefter for hand soap. That's pretty Gomaisa. I hope it's Gomaisa. So we need to figure out if we need to have hefter on hand soap / body wash. So, according to Tosfos Rosh, who says that Sicha Kishtia is a Din D'Oraisa, it seems like we would need. According to Rabbeinu Tam, who says it's a Din D'Rabbanan, also, it seems like it would be an Din D'Rabbanan, it seems like we would need. And according to our other pshat, if we want to say it's a Din Prati in Hilchos Truma, then we wouldn't need it. So actually, it's interesting, because Rabbeinu Tam says that there's no need for it, because we're not going to go out and create new gzeros. We're not going to say, oh, this thing, body wash, hand soap, we're not going to make new gzeros. We're going to stick to what was said. It's a very makel din. Sicha Kishtia is not like a real din. It's a din d'rabbanan that applies in certain situations, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's not going to apply. But the Mordechai, in Hilchos Shabbos, he says there is an issue mi d'rabbanan. So, maybe that's an issue. We seem to rely on the Mordechai a lot. But comes the Aruch HaShulchan and says, no, even our hand soap and our body wash is definitely not going to be a problem, according to everyone. It's not even Roy La'achiyot Kelev. And since it's not even Roy La'achiyot Kelev, if it were to be Kishtia, it wouldn't even be Kishtia, because it's not considered drinking when you're drinking that type of stuff. So it would never be a problem. Good drink. Like Roy Lafayette's Caleb, I think we assume oil is not, like, more drinkable than that, right? Exactly, but also, like, it's like come up with, like, chametz, no? Like, oil, like, whether you have to get new one, like, kosher Pesach stuff, so, like, oil something you would, because, like, it's... Exactly. I mean, you would probably eat your throat first, like, before you ate it. Right, yeah. Right? You know, your buffet looks pretty nice over there. Bet you have that one. Okay, so the next thing we have to understand, there was another way to understand this whole sugya of Sicha Kishtia, which is based on the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam has a very interesting sheet. The Rambam seems to say, or not seems, he does say, he says, Sicha k'shtiyas din d'oraisa. Let's see if we can find the words. Echad ha'ochel davar shadarko l'echad v'echad ha'shosh davar shadarko l'shosh v'echad ha'sach davar shadarko l'asuch shenemar lo yichal lewis kotshe ben eitro. Rambam says ha'sach. He says shenemar is talking about a din d'oraisa. The next Rambam, he also says shenemar, he's quoting a pasuk in Tehillim, but it seemed clear that Sicha k'shtiyas is a din d'oraisa, according to the Rambam. However, what's strange in the Rambam is that he only quotes this din by Tashlumei Truma and the extra chomesh you're going to have to pay if you violated the din. So the question is, the Rambam writes a lot of different things, right? The Rambam knows how to say, it is usher to do this. If you do this, you will be violating an Isha d'oraisa. So why did he only choose to say this Isra of Sicha Geshtia after the fact? Meaning, he only talks about it by Tashlumei Truma, that if you did this, then you have to pay Tashlumei Truma. Why did he not say, like, a zar is usher besach shal truma? Why did he not say a kohen tame or a kohen who's an arel is usher besach shal truma? Why did he wait to say, if someone did it, they have to pay tashlumei truma? Hear the question? No? No problem at all. Thank you for telling me. The question is, the Rambam in general, when he's like saying a din, so he would say it's usher to do this. He wouldn't say, if you violated this, make sure to do this. So the question is, there are people who it's usher for them to drink truma, for them to be sach b'truma. If you're going to hold sicha k'shtiyas d'oraisa, like he's saying, so a zar, someone who's a non-kohen, he's not allowed to do this with truma. So why didn't the Rambam just say, it's usher for a zar to be sach b'truma? Or it's usher for a kohen who's an arel, or a kohen who's tame to be sach b'truma? He should have just said that. Instead, he said, if someone was sach b'truma, who shouldn't be, then he's going to have to pay tashlumei truma. So why is he going about it that way? What's the shot? Why is he only dealing with it after the fact, not doing a preventative measure? Right, exactly. Right, that's it. It's all the same. He waited till late to say it. He didn't bring it in as one of the early ones where he probably spoke about Achila and Shtia right away. Very good. So what's the shot? So comes the brisker of the Briz. He says, Pshitas Rambam is very interesting. As we just said, it's very troubling. So what's Pshat? So he explains, it's like a tough nakuda. You have to make sure, we follow, we have to go slow. Okay? He only mentioned Sicha Keshtia by Bitul HaChetza. He didn't mention it by Isurei Gavra, right? There are two ways to go about ushering something. Either this person is usher in this, X person is not allowed to do this, or it's that if this happens, then the object is nisbatel. Yeah? Is that making sense? Meaning, this is not, the only thing that's an iser gavra by truma is eating and drinking. Those are the only things that have an iser gavra. Those are the only things that it's specific people are usher in. That's why the Rambam would say that a zar is achar is asur be'achila, a zar is achar be'shtia. But sicha k'shtia, while it is a din de'oraisa, what it's telling us is that it's mevatel v'chetza. That's the way it works. When you do sicha k'shtia, it's being mevatel v'chetza. And that's why we have to say that it applies by tashlumei truma, because now you are mevatel v'chetza of truma, so you have to pay back tashlumei truma. It's not that you're asur in it, it's just that you are mevatel v'chetza. Yeah, or it could just be, if it is just an Usher Gavra, then... But you don't need the Isher Chav, you don't need the Bitul Chav if you have the Isher Gavra. Right, yeah. I think so. Right, exactly. Right, by you doing that, you would be being Mevatel Chavta. Just the Mevatel Chavta part's not the key. Right, over here, by Sicha Kishtia, all it's doing is being Mevatel Chavta. So now what comes out, that Gemara in Krisos, again, where the grandfather who's a Kohen is rubbing it, and the kid then goes and hugs him. So that's not going to be a problem, because the chetza was already mevatel. Right? This thing was used for its proper usage, and since it was used for its proper usage, when the kid gets hana out of it, when the kid's hugging him and gets the oil, he's not being mevatel any chetza, so there's no problem of sicha k'shtia. That's why we're not going to apply anything. And by explaining this way about sicha k'shtia, it has nothing to do with our Gemara in Ksubis. So of course it's not going to be a valid question. That's the way to get rid of the question. Based on this also, that's all about bitul hachetza. There's not going to be a problem with treif soaps either, because treif soaps, you're not being, what chetza are you being mevatel? There's nothing about being mevatel a chetza. It's a totally different din. Yeah? Are we clear on that? Does that make sense to everyone? Tell me the truth. The chatz was mevatel because it was used for its proper usage. The kohen already got his full usage out of it. Now, by the time the grandson's using it, it's worth. He's not violating any isurim. Good. So let's just again. We have to chazer. So let's just chazer. So again, what was our question? We had our case of zar sha'achas atruma. So it comes out zar sha'achas atruma. There's a chi of misa and a chi of mamon. Comes and toz rush and toz rabbi parrots or toz yeshanim. Sorry. Comes to the Rosh and Tosafot Yeshanim and says, what do you mean? Why is there any Chiyuv Misa at all? The Truma was Nisbatel, it was Nischal. By the time I'm chewing it, it's disgusting. I shouldn't be Chayiv. What? Why is there any Chiyuv Misa at all by our case? There shouldn't be any Chiyuv Misa at all. It should have been Nisbatel. So we gave three answers. The first is Rabbeinu Tam, Sicha Kishtiya, meaning the question, sorry, that was the question, but the proof, the question comes from the Gemara and Krisus Dav Zayin. Just as in the Gemara and Krisus Stav Zion, we say that the grandchild is not going to be over any Yisurim because it was already too late, the Chatzo is Misbatel. So the same thing should apply in Ksubis, and the Zar should not be Chayev for Achilos Truma. So we give three answers. We said no. Sicha Kishtiya, that case over there is totally different. That was Rabbeinu Tam. We said that's only a Din Der, that's a Din Der Rabbanan. Here in our Gemara, we're dealing with a Din Del Raisa, so it's not comparable. And since it's not comparable, there's no question. That was the first answer we gave. Rabbeinu Tam is a Din Derabanan. The second answer was this technical answer. I don't even know if we mentioned it, but Tosafot Yeshanim and Tosafot Harash, they give these technical answers that over here there's no more Hana to have left because you could have, if you would have spit it out, there's no more Hana. They give these technical answers. So that's the second way to answer the Kasha. That's why the Gemara in Krisis is not a possible Shaila on us. And the third way is this Grizz, that is, you're based on the Rambam. The Rambam has a very strange shita, so the Grizz explained that it's a bitul achefta din. So the bitul achefta only applies when it's being used in the proper way, that's when there's not going to be a problem. So in Krisus, where it's being used right, so that's where it's not going to apply, but in Subis, there would still be a problem. So it's not a kasha, you can't compare the cases. They are not comparable at all. So we got three answers, Rabbeinu Tam, the technical answers, and this Grizz. Okay, so that is what we had. So what time is it? Oh wow, we really don't have much time left. Let's think. Okay, so let's just say really quickly. So there's a Gemara in Yuma. It talks about a guy who's eating a czar. He's eating prunes of truma and throws them up. And then, this is still the same thing. I'm just trying to think if we should even do this. Okay, so I'll just say it out very, very briefly. So there's... I'll say that very briefly. What? I don't know what it is. I'll say that very briefly. So the Gemara gives a case where a czar eats some prunes of truma, throws them up, and then someone else eats them. Like silver. Someone else eats them. So the Gemara says that the first guy is going to be chayv and the second guy is going to be pater. So what's going on? Why is the second guy going to be pater? So it should have been nischalel, meaning even with the first guy, it should have been nischalel. Fine. Well, actually, I don't know if we have time to go through the whole thing. Basically, Rashi has a shita in Krisus. Rashi has this unique shita in Krisus that says that the reason why there's no iser being violated with the grandson is because it's being used beheter, and he gives this whole heter reason, and that would be another answer to our shaila why it's not comparable to the case in Subit, because since the grandfather's allowed to use it, he's allowed to rub himself with it, so he rubs himself with it. And now the grandson's using it, so since it was used behetzer, it's okay. So we wanted to know, why did no one else say this? So we said, maybe this is Talion a Reb Chaim. Because Reb Chaim in Hilchos Me'ilah gives this whole nice shot about saying there are two ways to understand this thing called Nase Mitzvoso. I'm not doing this thing justice at all, because I'm trying to rush it, so let's just forget it for now. And, yeah, know it. You guys know it. Whatever. Don't worry about it. Okay. We have to go on to the next sugya. We have to go on to the next sugya because we only have like 15 minutes left, and this is a very long sugya. So comes the Gemara and brings up a different case. So again, what were we trying to figure out? We were trying to figure out Reb Nechoni ben Hakane. Rabbi Nachmani ben Akana says what? Rabbi Nachmani ben Akana extends the cases of Timoy to pass just Misa based in, and he applies it to even either Kares or Misa Bidei Shemayim, Machlok Zabai Rabba. So we wanted to figure out what a Nafkamina is between them. So first we said Zar Shal Chalasa Truma, and we gave a bunch of possibilities as to how that case is working. Nechal De'ali De'atak, and shoving it down his throat, whatever it is. The Gemara comes and quotes Ravashi and says, I have a much simpler case. Why can't we the case just be, the guy's eating his own truma. The guy's eating truma, which is going to be a Misa Bidei Shemayim. It's his own truma, he's not stealing it, because he inherited it from his grandfather or something. So he's eating his own truma, which is going to be a Misa Bidei Shemayim, and at the same time, as he's eating that, he rips his friend's shirt. Why don't we just do that case? That seems to be a much simpler case. And then we have to see, maybe if Kimwe applies there, then we'd be able to figure out whether Kimwe applies by things with Misa Bidei Shemayim. Comes Rashi on that Gemara. Rashi says, "B'shah shebola v'yafalav the misa lav misha mamona the nizak asya le miftar svira lezer Ravashi misa lazevet hashem lazev potter." This sugya that we are just quoting, this Gemara in Ksubis, it has a big assumption. Gemara is quoting Ravashi, who says that in such a case where I'm eating truma and ripping someone else's shirt, that kimle will apply. He's clearly assuming misa lazevet hashem lazev is going to be pater and kimle is going to apply to it. So when I say pater, that means kimle is applying. When I say chayav, that means kimle is not going to be applying. So he says, Rav Ashi is clearly holding misa lazev and mamon lazev is going to be pater and kimle will apply to it. Okay? So we have to see if this is true, but the fact that Rashi is saying that that's shitas Rav Ashi shows that there are people who seem to disagree with this. So we need to see what's going on. So we pointed out there are five Gemaras which talk about this, which play an impact on this sugya. The first is Ksubis 30b. That's what we were just talking about. So Achav Truma Vakara Shirayim. What's the din? The din is Pater. And what does Pater mean again? We said Pater means that Kimle is applying. The next Gemara we wanted to look at is this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yoram Aleph. Gemara has a very complicated case. Cases where a set of Edom come and say Reuven had Bia with this Nara Amurasa, but they didn't give her name. So then they're going to be Pater, but then they give her name. They say that Reuven was Mizana with Rachel, and then they're found to be Edom Zomimin. So basically, they're found to be Edom Zomimin. So they try to kill Reuven and Rachel, and they try to take away her Ksuba, which would cause a loss to the father of Rachel. So there was Misa Lazeh, which was Misa to the two people that they claimed were Mizana. And there was Mamon to her, the father of Rachel, for trying to make her lose her ksuba. And the Gemara says they're going to be chayiv in both. The Gemara says he's going to be chayiv in both. What does that mean? That means there is not going to be kimwe. So this seems to be a case of Misa Lazeh v'tashlum lazeh, and it is not going to be kimwe. We then went to the next Gemara. This was an even wilder case. Cases where Reuben comes and says that his wife Rachel was Mizaneh, and he brings Edim, and then Rachel's father brings Edim, and then those Edim are found to be Zomimin. So basically, just to sum up the case, it's Misa le'edim shel Reuven. This is what the Edim of the father of Rachel, once they were found to be Zomimin, so what should happen to them? So they tried to cause a Misa to the Edim of Reuven, and they tried to cause Mamon to Reuven, either through a Knas or Motzi Shemra, because he was actually telling the truth. So there's a Misa Lazeh from Mamon Lazeh, and the Gemara seems to conclude Chayiv, which means what? What does that mean if we say Chayiv? It means Kimwe does not apply. So that was that. We next had the Gemara of in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph says a case of Rodef, where someone's chasing after someone else. We were Mechadesh, as we will see much more tomorrow, that Rodef has a din of Misa's Basin, that you're considered Misa Basin. It's possible Kimwe can apply in such a case. So the case is Rodef Vinishbar Kalim Shalakar. So I'm running after Yenim to go. I've been waiting a really long time to say that. I run after Yenim to try to kill him. So I'm running after him, and as I'm running by, I break Yahav's Kalim. So since I do that, it's Misa Lazev and Mamon Lazev. And what does the Gemara seem to say? Potter. Which means that what? Kimwe applies. Then the last Gemara is Gemara Bava Kama Daf Chafez Amud Beis, and the Gemara goes through this whole Shach V'Tarya, Ishim Ishim Mamonu, Ishim Ishim Chitzav, and we are going to speak a lot more about this tomorrow. But basically, the Gemara says the Chiddush according to the Gemara is that Misa Lazeh, the Mamon Lazeh, is going to be Pater. It says miso, whatever. It's an abbreviation, which doesn't look good, but I didn't want to write the whole thing out. Okay, so again, let's just chaz what we have. We have our Gemara and Ksubis, which seem to say miso is ever mumble as potter, meaning him will apply. We had two Gemaras in Sanhedrin, two Adim Zomim cases, which seem to say that Chayiv, which Kimwe will not apply. And we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin with Rodef, which says that Kimwe will apply. And Gemara in Bava Kamma, which says Kimwe will apply. What is going on? How can we solve this problem? So let's just write down the answer that we have. The first answer is Rashi. This is the easiest answer. This is like one of those gimmies on the Bechina. You know, it's when they, like, everyone likes writing this answer. That in Hachinami, Machokas Asugis. I don't mind it either because it takes much easier grades.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
If
right?
It's 1, 4, and 5 versus 2, and 3.
Yeah. 1, 4, and 5 sounds like right, like a little March Madness pool going on here. 1, 4, and 5 versus 2 and 3.
I think
they're that's right. So the first answer is Rashi in Hachinami doesn't machokas and sugyas. Yep. The problem with Rashi though, that everyone points out, is that Rashi's assuming, his assumption is that our case of Subas over here is the case of Misa Lezeb and Mamma Mazeh. You just know that this is a problem that all the Rishonim talk about. It's very strange because all the other cases of Misa Lezeb and Tashum Mazeh, the two Zez are people. However, over here, Misa Lezeb, the Misa, is being Adam Lamakom. It's talking about Hashem. So if that's true, that's a big problem that we're going to apply Misa Lezeb and Mamma Mazeh because the classic case of Kimlei, the classic case, the Mishnah talks about Hamadlik is a Godish Peshabis. Right? So if we're going to say Hashem is considered a Zeh, then that's Misa Lezeb Tashlum Mazeh, because I'm burning down this guy's field, so I owe Yenim money for his field. And Misa is going, I owe Hashem, whatever, you know, I have my Dein Adam L'makum Dinim, so that's going to be a big problem. So that's what a lot of the Rishonim say with Rashi. Rashi, the fact that he called this case in Subis, Misa Lezeb Mamal Mazeh, that seems to be a problem. Well, right, meaning, but if you just hold that this is not a case of Kimwe, then it wouldn't be as big a problem. Meaning, of course, he holds it to Machokes, yeah. I mean, but as by saying his Shita over here, he's saying that it's Machokes. He could have also said it's Machokes because this Sugya is not, but he called this Sugya. Right. Right. Meaning, right. But it's possible it could have just been a machlokes between these two and these two anyway without that case. But Rashi chose to add in this case, and that's the problem that some of the Rishonim have with him. Comes Rabbeinu Tam, and he offers another answer. Rabbeinu Tam says what? Rabbeinu Tam says that no matter what, everyone agrees that Misa Lezev Tashlum Lezev is going to be Pater. Okay? That's Rabbeinu Tam. Remember Rabbeinu Tam. Everyone remembers Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi. We have, these are the Shitas. Again, we're breaking this down. We have 5 Gemaras which seem to imply different things. We have Rashi, who says that it's a big Machlokes, and Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's no Machlokes. Really, everyone agrees that it's going to be Pater. But one of Rabbeinu Tam's proofs is the Pasuk. He says the Pasuk is the case of Misal Zev Tashum Mazeh, and we see that it's Pater. What's the Pasuk? Ason Vimo Ya Ason Anoshi Anesh. So what's the case? Well, you hit a pregnant lady, right? So if you kill her, then you're going to be Pater. But if you don't kill her, then you're going to be chayav. So what's the case if you kill her? So if you kill her, you're going to be pater because there's a chi of misa. What's the chi of mamon? That you killed her baby, the ubar. So if you kill the baby, that's the meiv lazus, which go to the husband. So if that goes that misa lezev tashlum lezev, you're going to be pater. We see from the pasuk. So we brought out a whole big machlokes, a whole chakira. We spoke a lot about this whole thing of the meiv lazus. Rav Chakira has had the Meiv Lados work, whether it's considered Guf Ha'isha, right? Tosos says it's Guf Ha'isha, and we wanted to discuss whether it goes through the woman or over the woman. Does it mean that really it belongs to the woman, and it's really Misa of Mamon Lachad, or if it goes straight to the husband, it's really Misa of Mazeh V'Tashum Lazeh? Whatever that lumdus is, very good to know. We're not going to go through it right now, but that's the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, and that's where he gets his proof from. But now he needs to deal with these cases. So I don't understand. How does he understand these two cases seem to explicitly say that you're going to be chayav in Misa Lezeb Tashlum Lezeh? So what's he talking about? Comes Rabbeinu Tam and explains, no, those cases are different because they're talking about what? Edim Zoymimin. Those cases are totally different. Az Mishaneh, huh? I'm trying to write for Hebrew. Yeah, good. Yeah, everyone okay with that? All right. So they're dealing with Edom Zomimin, so it's a totally different case. We have a Xeris HaKasav, Asisim Lo Kasher Zomim La Asos La'achiv. There needs to be Kasher Zomim. In order for Kasher Zomim to apply, for the real din of Edom Zomimin to apply, every punishment that was supposed to happen needs to happen. And since every punishment that's supposed to happen needs to happen, that's why Misael Zevet Asim Lozah is going to be Chayav. That's a unique din with Edom Zomimin. It has nothing to do with everything else. The real din is Misael Zevet Asim Lozah is going to be Pater. And that's it. Yeah, good. Then we wanted to analyze this this Rabbeinu Tam a little bit. Rabbeinu Tam is saying that if we were to just do the Chi of Misa and not a Chi of Mamon, so that would not be considered. He says that if we're taking away the Chi of Mamon, right? So there are two ways to apply Kibmai in general. When we say that there's going to only be a Chi of Misa and not a Chi of Mamon, so does that mean that the Chi of Mamon is now? You're pater in the Chiyuv Mamon. There's no Chiyuv Mamon because you're pater. The Misa is, by having a Misa, we're saying you're now pater in Mamon. Or does it work that we're saying having a Chiyuv Misa, the Chiyuv Mamon is now included in the Chiyuv Misa? Yeah.
How does it differ
from
the
Gemara
that you assume that it's going to apply to make
it
as if
there is no Chiyuv Mamon? Right. Where, how does it differ? Because he was saying otherwise, let's say we had a normal Gemara Kimwe, right? So if we had a din of Kimwei, Misa Lezevet Hashumim Lezeh, what was his problem with applying if I eat in Zomimin? Kasher Zomim. So he's assuming that if we were to just give the Chi of Misa and not the Chi of Mamon, that would not fulfill Kasher Zomim. If he understood that the Chi of Mamon was included in the Chi of Misa, then it would have been a full Kasher Zomim. It wouldn't have been a problem. What are you talking about? That's what we're saying. Those are the two dinim. So that's clearly how Rabbeinu Tam is understanding. It exists, but you're patur from it. So that's why it wouldn't be a good din of kasher zamam. But there's another way to understand it, which is that really it doesn't exist anymore because it's included in the chi of misa. The chi of mamun is included in the chi of misa. So Rabbeinu Tam clearly does not hold like that, and Rabbeinu Tam clearly holds, as Silver was saying, that there is a chi of mamun, but you're just patur from it. By getting a misa, we're paturing you. But this is not so pashut, because there are Rishonim who disagree with Rabbeinu Tam and feel the other way, and they ask from this Gemara in Makos. Gemara in Makos, the first Mishnah, which again we're going to talk about much like later on in different Chazar Shirim. Gemara in Makos talks about Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and since we can't turn the kids into Chal, we can't turn them into Chalolim because Lo Velo Lizaro, we give them Malkus. So comes a lot of the Rishonim and say, I don't understand, why can't you just make him Chayiv and Mamon because of the Matnas Kahuna that he's losing? He's losing Matnas Kuna. By you saying that he's a Chal, he's no longer going to get Matnas Kuna. So make him Chayav and Mamon. What's going on? So come. What?
Why would I do anything?
Meaning that would be good enough for Kasher Zomim.
But making him pay Mamon?
Yeah, meaning like I claim that you and someone else, me and someone else claim that you're not a Kohen, you're a Chal, right?
Yeah.
So now you're never going to get Truma, you're never going to get any of the Matnas Kuna. Pay the value of that, and that should cover Kasher Zomim. What am I giving you Malkus for? Right?
Yeah.
Some of the Rishonim answer that, like, there's no way to put a value on that. Yeah. That's ridiculous. The other Rishonim answer, like, what was the other answer of the Rishonim? That it's a grumma.
Value on somebody who died?
Well, no, but we just give you what you did to them. When we're talking about Misa, there needs to be exact values of how much. I mean, when we're talking about Mamon, there needs to be exact value to make it a.
If you kill somebody, then we say by accident, right?
Then go.
Right,
so when it comes to payment, we need to know what you're paying. Another answer is maybe it's a grumma, so that's why, but comes the ritva, and he gives a different answer. He says, we can't just do this chiyuv mamon, because we don't do edim zomim lachatzayim. We don't do half edim zomim, it just doesn't work like that. We don't do it like that. Okay. Well, because if I want to turn someone into a halal, there are a lot of other things that come with that also. Their children are going to be halalim, and they can't marry this, and they can't marry that. If we're only going to focus on the mamon aspect, that's only half. That's not a good enough kasher zamam. Exactly. We can't be selective within it. Comes the ritva, and he asks on himself from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara gives a misa and not a mamon. The Gemara says there's a... This Gemara that we were talking about over here, where it's going to be Misa Le'edim Shal Ruvain and Mamon Shal Mamon Shel Reuven, right? Where we said that it's going, there's going to be a Misa and not a Mamon. The case before that gave a whole complicated case where we're going to apply Edim Zomimin and we're going to only give a Misa and not a Mamon payment. So according to the Ritva, who said that there's a problem of doing partial Hazama, doing partial Kasher Zamam, I don't understand. This is partial Kasher Zamam. How can we just have a Misa and no Mamon? What's going on? So the pshat is that the Ritva disagrees with this Rabbeinu Tam, because the Ritva is holding that if you have a Chiyav Misa and a Chiyav Mamon, to just give the Chiyav Misa will be enough, because that's considered Kasher Zamam, because the Chiyav Mamon is included in the Chiyav Misa. As opposed to Rabbeinu Tam, who we saw before, who clearly holds that when we have a Chiyav Mamon and a Chiyav Misa, if we just give the Chiyav Misa, the Chiyav Mamon's like still there, but we're just saying it tafters you from it. Comes the Ritva and he's explaining that it's actually included in the Chiyav Misa, and that's why it could be a full Kasher Zamam. Okay, so we went through a whole lumbus within this Ritva to try to answer this Kasher, the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch asked the Kasher about Ir HaNidachas, an interesting Kasher. Minchas Chinuch always, he tries to bring all these from these wild cases, these Gemaras, and whatever it was, very interesting stuff. Again, don't have time for it right now, but Ayin Shum, fine. So we want to know, does this matter to us? At the end of the day, when we're talking about Kimleith, so let's just stick to this Machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam, and Ritva for a minute. So again, what was the Machlokes? Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's a Ptur, whereas the Ritva holds that it's included in the Chiyav Misa, is this Chiyav Mamon. So are there any differences? Does it matter? So there's a big difference when it comes to a Chiyav Bidei Shemayim. Comes Rashi in Gemara Bava Metzia and the Sadi Aleph, and he has this famous shita that by Kimlei, it's possible to say that there's going to be a Misa, there's going to be a Chiyav Bidei Shemayim. So even though this guy only gets a Misa and not a Chiyav Mamon, if I was toe-faced and I went and grabbed what I know really belongs to me, I wouldn't have to give it back. So the Chora, we pointed out that this would be totally on how we understand Kimlei. If Kimlei is that there really is a Chiyav Mamon on the side over there, just it's pottering you from it, because you're getting a Chiyav Misa, it's just pottering you, so it would make sense to say that there's really a Chiyav Bidei Shemayim. But if we're going to understand like the Ritva, that when I get a Chiyav Misa, included in the Chiyav Misa is the Chiyav Mamon, it wouldn't make any sense to have a Chiyav Bidei Shemayim. Yeah? So let's just say what we pointed out. So we said that we had Rashi who answered this problem from all these Gemaras. We had Rashi who said, in Achanami, it's a Machlokes HaSugyos. We had Rabbeinu Tam who said that you're going to be Pater, and he said these cases are cases of Edim Zomim, so they're different. What came out from that is that we saw that he has a shita that Edim Zomim, or not really, Chiyav Misa is a Ptur Mimamon. And we showed how from the Gemara and Makos that the Ritva argues and says that no, it's Nechal Masayim on it, right? Or it's Nechal Misa. He was really bad. I should just start from the other side. I gotta get used to writing in front of me. I should just write it that way. Stick to the English, right? Okay, so that's this Machlokes. So now let's just focus on one last shita in the Rishonim as to how to answer this Kasha, and that is the Riva in Tosos. The Riva comes, and he gives a different answer in the Sugya. The Riva says that Misa Lazeh, V'tashumim Lazeh is always going to be Chayev. Is always going to be Chayev. Okay, so he's totally different than Rabbeinu Tam. He says that it's always going to be Chayev. And how does he explain these things? So he says, first of all, this case, as we pointed out from Rashi, this is not even a case of Misa Lazeh V'tashumim Lazeh. We can cross this one off. This case, Chayev, Chayev, that's perfect for me. These two cases are cases of Rodef, and Rodef is going to be totally different. Rodef is going to be a totally, totally different entity. Why? Because the way that it works by Rodef, so what's happening? Again, I'm running after someone to kill them, right? So now, the din of Rodef, which we're saying is a Misa Bidei Shemayim, that anyone who sees this has the right, or especially the guy being chased, has the right to kill me. And the din is also that any guy who sees me has the right to take me out. So since any guy who sees me has the right to take me out, it's as if that's a Chiyav Misa for everyone. So it's really considered Misa. It's really, these cases of Rodef are really considered Mamonu Misa Lechad. Because let's say I break someone's Kalim as I'm running after someone else. Right? So again, what was the case? I'm running after Yenim. I'm running and I break Yahav's Kalim, right? So I break Yahav's Kalim. Yahav is considered someone who I was a chi of Misa for Yahav, because Yahav could have killed me if he wanted to. And since he could have killed me, there was a chi of Misa for him also. And now that I break his kelim, there's a chi of Mammon also. So that's why Rodev cases are different. And that's why I came away going to apply by Rodev cases. These two cases are not telling Misa Lazev and Tashmun Lazev is going to be Pater. They're just telling me Rodev is different. Since it's Rodev, Rodev is going to be different because it's a Misa for everyone. So it's always going to be a case of Misa of a Mammon Lachad. So why does everyone disagree with this? What's everyone arguing with? This seems to be a pretty nice shot. So what the Riva is clearly assuming is that Rodev is all about Omshin. Rodev works through Omshin, and since it works through Omshin and Omshin alone, that makes it that it's going to apply by Kimlay. But other people disagree, and they say no. Rodev is not a din in Omshin, it's really a din in Hatzalah. So since there's a din in Hatzalah, we're not going to apply it by Kimlay, so it's not a totally separate entity. So that's why they're not going to agree. So let's just chazer what we have again. So we had these five sugyas, which Rashi started us off by calling this Misa Lazev Tashlum Lazev. We had our five sugyas, we wanted to figure out what's going on. So the Chita's Rashi said it's a machlokas in the sugyas. We had the Rabbeinu Tam who said that you're going to always be putter by Misa Lazev Tashlum Lazev. The two cases which seem to imply chayev are different because we're talking about Edim Zomimin. And we learned something fundamental in how we understand Kimlay there, that Kimlay is a patur mamon, doesn't get rid of the mamon, it's just a patur, as opposed to the Ritva who disagreed and said that it actually included in the Misa is the mamon. And then we had the Riva, who said that you're always going to be chayav a Misa Lezev Tashlum Lezev, and what was the difference? The difference was the reason why this case, forget about it as we pointed out before, and then erased it. Good thing that the eraser doesn't work now when I'm using it as opposed to the other times. And these two cases where it's Pater, they're different because they're Rodev cases. So that is it. Those are the two figures. Sorry if it wasn't so clear. If anyone has any questions, please let